is thy name. Mountains, valleys, all creations of thy fame. Heavens declare it, all thy wondrous works proclaim. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name. Thou shalt ever be the same.
Mic record evidently up here on Paul's mic. I'm sorry, Paul. I hate that when that happens, but it happens every now and again. All right, Brother Murphy, come preach to us. We're glad you're here. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I certainly do appreciate the opportunity, how the Lord worked it out for allowing me to be here with you folks this Sunday morning. Always look forward in coming here. I always have a great time, and I appreciate it, your graciousness, your kindness, and allowing me to be here, your pastor. And I appreciate his attitude and zeal for the Lord. And he has a heart for preachers and believes in the ministry of the evangelist. And so that's a blessing to me when so many people today have forsaken that office. And so I just thank the Lord that your pastor has that type of wisdom and knowledge and zeal for the evangelist. Amen. And I thank God for it. Amen. But it is a blessing to be here. I appreciate the opportunity so very much. I had a tremendous meeting down in Murfreesboro, Illinois. And good meeting there. And kind of had an unusual situation in that church. Had booked the meeting. The pastor then later on resigned. I don't know. Maybe he resigned because he booked a meeting. But he resigned anyway. And so the people still wanted me to come. I was a little bit reluctant about it. But anyways, and we had a good meeting, and the Lord blessed. There was an individual there, a woman who had been newly born again and saved and had a burden for some of her neighbors, and brought two women to church Tuesday night. I preached a message, and both of those women got saved. And so that was a blessing. Amen. And so God just kind of confirmed it in my heart that, you know, I needed to be there. And I praise the Lord for that opportunity and the way the Lord worked. But God's been good. We've seen some people saved, and we thank the Lord for it. And I've just recently moved from Oklahoma to Minnesota. I finally convinced my wife that the Minnesota winters aren't that bad. So you shouldn't lie like that. Amen. That really wasn't a lie, amen. It was kind of a Rahab, the harlot type situation. And, you know, it was more of a strategic thing than anything else. You know, we're in a battle, warfare, you know, and you got to watch the enemy. But, you know, I convinced them that, you know, it's not that bad. Of course, January, I'll be in Florida and Georgia preaching some meetings. But, you know, she'll be home holding down the fort, amen. And so thank the Lord for that. But praise God for His goodness, His mercy, and excited about being a Christian. Yeah. Amen. And you look at the situation that we're in and the different catastrophic events that are happening around the world and in our country. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking. Amen? I'd rather have him stand at the door and knock than knock me in the head. Amen? But oh, listen, we're not going to listen. He may have to knock us in the head. And so the situation that's going on, listen, we better open up the door and allow the Spirit of God to accomplish His will in our lives and on a collective basis and also individually as Christians. We ought to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God as He speaks to our heart. Through different events and through the preaching of God's Word and other things that transpire in our life, nothing happens by accident in the life of a Christian. Amen. It's the divine providential will of the living God working in our lives individually. God has a specific plan, and we need to be sensitive to the voice of God if we're to carry out that plan effectively.
Amen.
Have an impact for the cause of Christ and see the Christianity advancing itself upon society today. I believe America is ripe right now for revival. For God to do something supernatural in this country if God's people were determined to be sensitive. Amen. Now I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts in chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. I want to be a help and encouragement to you this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse number 6. I want you to notice what the Bible declares here in this passage of Scripture. Get down to verse number 8, and we find here the last words of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Now, anytime someone gives you their last words, mark it down, neighbor, you better sit up and take notice. I mean, it usually culminates the entire philosophy, what they determine to live by throughout their existence upon the face of the earth. The last words of Jesus. The last words that He spoke on the face of the earth to His followers. Amen. The last things, most important thing that Jesus Christ spoke. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You're going to set up your kingdom so that we as Jews can rule and reign throughout all of eternity. Jesus said here, He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons of which the Father hath put in His own power. Boy, everybody gets wrapped up, you know, in this preaching on the future and all sorts of things that are transpiring in society. We as God's people need to recognize our practical personal responsibility in relation to what's going on in America today. And the Bible says here in verse number 8, but ye shall receive power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The last words of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Important words. Are you with me? The admonition of the Lord Jesus. What were the last words of Jesus Christ? What was the principle He was trying to convey and communicate to every blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ? We find here the last words of Jesus is to evangelize, not antagonize. Amen. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. Oh, listen to me, neighbor. There's more division and dissension in our churches today. What a tragedy that is. I mean, Christian people, the opportunity that God has given the church today to reach the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the antagonistic type of spirit that permeates has become grievous to the work of the Holy Spirit. The last words of Jesus, evangelize. Don't antagonize the work of Jesus Christ by being negligent in this area of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus. That's the admonition. Amen.
We see his ascension in verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while beheld he was taken up, a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus." So we find his admonition to evangelize. Then we see the ascension of Jesus Christ foretold in the Scriptures. As he went up, a cloud received him out of their sight. Now we see, thirdly, the affirmation concerning the coming of Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. Do you believe it? In your heart, you'll do everything in your power to get people saved. The only thing that's going to change the direction of this country is more Christians. Amen. Recruit. Get people saved. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. You either evangelize or you gaze. Amen. Or you're gazing. And I'm not talking about going out, you know, and having all these people saved down the aisle. Every Christian ought to be making an effort to evangelize. Not antagonize. Don't become antagonistic in your spirit. Recognize the last words of Jesus Christ. And verse number 8 is to evangelize. Don't antagonize. And we see four areas. We find the Jerusalem. We find the Judea. We find the Samaria. And we find an uttermost part of the earth. What is my Jerusalem? Don't antagonize the work of God. Evangelize. Get people saved. What is my Jerusalem? The first area of evangelism concerns our family. Evangelize your family. Do everything in your power to get your family saved. When's the last time you've been to an old-fashioned altar and prayed for that family member to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Don't neglect your immediate family, extended family. Get your family saved. That's your Jerusalem. Evangelize. Don't antagonize.
Are you with me? Say amen even if it kills you.
But we find an example of that in the book of John and chapter 1. John chapter 1. And notice in verse number 40. Evangelize. That was the last words of Jesus. Don't antagonize. Don't gaze. Don't grieve the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Be used as an individual to reach people with the gospel. Your Jerusalem, the first area of evangelism, is your family. Your immediate family, extended family. Get them saved under the sound of the gospel.
One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew became burdened for Peter, brought Peter to Jesus. Peter got saved and later on went on to be that powerful preacher of Pentecost where 3,000 souls came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Are you women saying amen right there? Evangelize your family.
My mom and dad didn't get saved till I was 16 years old.
I was 16 years old in hot pursuit of a professional hockey career.
I believe the Lord's coming back this year. Amen. Hockey season has come into bloom. So, you know, I'm so excited about it. If I throw a body check on you, you'll know why. Amen? But my mom and dad got saved. We never went to church. They heard the gospel message.
Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church running buses. Believed the King James Bible. Believed in old-fashioned Christianity. Reached my mom and dad with the gospel.
They got saved. Of course, it was, you know, quite a transformation for a 16-year-old boy having to watch my mom and dad go through. My brother was 15. We thought, you know, the invasion of the body snatchers had come and taken over the minds of our parents. But, you know, it was unbelievable how my mom and dad became burdened for their family. They started praying for them. My mom and dad, I mean, led cousins, uncles, aunts, brothers.
sisters, people. I mean, leading family members left and right. I've never seen my dad at the dinner table pray for food and weep for his brothers and sisters to be saved. What happened? He became burdened for his family. They prayed for 10 years for my grandma to get saved. My mom's mom, Grandma Mattoon. Old Norwegian woman stuck in the Lutheran church. They prayed for her. Prayed and prayed and prayed. My dad prayed for his mother-in-law to get saved. That's a blessing when the mother-in-law gets saved. She needs it, boy. I'm telling your neighbor. Prayed and prayed and prayed. 10 years. 1984, my grandmother trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. My dad led her to Christ. She got saved. 1985, she heard her oldest grandson preach for the first time. I mean, I got a grandson, he's a preacher. I'm the oldest, number one grandson. And so she heard me preach for the first time, 1985. I was preaching way up in Deerwood, Minnesota. Wainscoke. And so after the service, she came up to me, pulled me down by my collar. She did the little bitty woman. My mother, she's 5'3", weighs 110 pounds soaking wet. My dad's 5'8", weighs about 165 pounds. She said, good night. What happened to you? I'm a freak of nature. But anyways, I don't know what happened to me. Well, the Hanson knows my mom and dad. He knows. Been serving the Lord now 30 years on the bus route. They're running a bus route today. My mom's 70, my dad's 68. Amen. Pull me down, my grandma. Motul, pull me down. My grandmother was a church patter, a cheek patter, not a church cheek puller. Amen. And she patted me and said, son, when I go to be with Jesus, I want you to say the words. That's what she said. And it didn't matter if we were just there for a visit or if she heard me preach. She pulled me down by my shirt or my collar and she grabbed me. When I go home, remember, honey, when I go home to see Jesus, I want you to say the words. 1999, my grandmother went home to be with the Lord. I got the call. And the Lord worked it all out. I was between meetings. I had to do a long run up to Minnesota. Got there. Got to Brainerd, Minnesota. Preached my grandmother's funeral. 300 people. There were relatives there I never met. There were relatives there I wish I'd never met. They let that guy out for the funeral, okay. But anyways, I'm related to the, oh mercy, Lord, thanks for saving me. But I preached my grandmother's funeral. 25 of my relatives raised their hand and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I preached my grandma's funeral. I gave an invitation. 25 of them got saved. My cousin's daughter, 16-year-old daughter. My cousin's 16-year-old. I don't know how that works. Second cousin, maybe, whatever. But she got saved. She came up to me and said, you know, I prayed that prayer. I got saved. This is my boyfriend. He said, yeah, I prayed that prayer. We both got saved. Thank you for preaching Grandma's funeral. 2 weeks later, those two died in a car accident. Now, I couldn't work it out to go up and preach their funeral. It was a tragic situation. But I thank God that the Lord allowed me to preach my grandmother's funeral because my mom and dad got burdened for their family, recognizing their Jerusalem. Evangelize! Don't antagonize. Who's with me? Say amen. Go take your Bibles. Go to the book. of Mark in chapter 5. And I want you to notice there in Mark chapter 5, we find our Jerusalem, that's our family, our Judea. Notice in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 19, the Bible says, go home to thy friends. Listen, that's the second area of evangelism. We've got our Jerusalem, that's our family, then we've got our Judea, that's our friends. They're still friends. Go home to your friends. I mean, this maniac, this wild man. I see myself. Well, God didn't streak around or anything, but, you know, he was out of control. You don't have Jesus, you're out of control, neighbor. No man could tame him. Tearing himself apart. Possessed with these devils. They're trying to go rip the chains, rip his clothes off, ran through the tombs. You know, when I was a kid, I avoided the graveyards. Amen. A new dude in a rude mood. Crazy man. But then he met Jesus and got saved. He became burdened to go with the Lord, but the Lord said, hey, you go home to your friends. That's your Judea. Your friends. Maybe people you've grown up with. Hardest things I ever had to do, Brother Angel, when I got saved, was to tell my buddies, I can't go with you. I love those guys. They're like brothers to me. We've been through some things. They know things about me my wife doesn't even know, and we'll keep it that way. I mean, you know your buddies. That you did things. Bailed each other out. Had each other's backs. Right there. Loyal to the core. My buddies, I had to tell them. I'm a Christian now. I can't go there. I can't drink that. I can't do that. I can't say that. Can't get involved in that. I love you guys, but oh, that was tough. God began to burden my heart for them. Kyle, Dean, Jack, and Mark. We were the crew. God burdened my heart for them. You need to get your buddy saved. I invited my buddy Mark several years ago to church. I'm not going to church with you. I said, Mark, you remember you used to ask me to go to the bar with you, and I'd go. I'm asking you to go to church with me. You say, you're my friend. He said, I'll go. Went to church with me. We sat there, heard the preaching. I said, Mark, when you want to get saved? Grabbed my arm and pulled me down to the front. And I led him to Christ on the altar. Amen. Amen. Go home to your friends. This is Judea. That's the area. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. You've got some friends. Who's with me? Say amen. You've got some buddies. Have you given up on them? Who's with me? Say amen. I've had the opportunity of seeing my buddy Kyle saved. I've had the opportunity to see my buddy Dean saved. I have the opportunity of seeing my buddy Mark saved. Just back in January, I went and visited my buddy Jack, vice president construction company, makes $350,000 a year, big old house. Knocked on his door, Murph, I haven't seen you in years. What are you doing? I'm a preacher now. He said, I heard that. I heard you're a preacher. I said, I'm preaching over here at the church. Why don't you come and hear me? He said, well, I don't know. I said, man, it's only an hour. Come and hear me preach. And my buddy, he said, I'll do it. My old buddy Jack came, sat in the back row. Heard never been in an independent Baptist church in his life. Diehard Catholic. Faithful to his Catholic church. Very religious individual. Came and heard me preach. Man, I preach salvation every way I could think. And I think I made up some stuff. I wanted to get him saved. The Lord knew my heart. Amen. He knows my heart. After the service, I turned the invitation over because I knew he only had an hour. He had to leave. Turned the invitation. I went in the back. Walked around the corner. There my buddy Jack. Tears coming down his face. I'd never seen that before. He grabbed me. And hugged me like a little child. Put his head on my shoulder. Like a little child. Said, Murph, I can't believe it. I mean, just what's going on in your life? I can't. I said, Jack, it's God, man. It's God. I didn't have the opportunity of getting them saved right then. But his heart is tender. His heart is open. Pray for Jack to get saved. That's your Judea. Your Judea. Your buddies. Your friends. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. Who's with me? Say amen. Go to the book of Proverbs. In chapter 25. And we find our Samaria. We got a Jerusalem. That's a family. We got a Judea. That's a phrase. We got a Samaria. What is that? Proverbs in chapter 25. And verse number 21. If thy enemy be hungry. Your foes. That's your foes. Your enemy. Those oppose you. Those that mock you. Those that ridicule. Those that make fun. You know, Jesus died for those people. Don't be antagonistic towards them. Evangelize. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. I had a woman that rode my bus up in Minnesota. She rode my bus every Sunday. She rode that bus. Brought her three little blonde-haired girls. 11, 9, and 6. I remember those little blonde-haired girls. They'd come jump on the bus and they would jump in my lap. Give me a big old hug. I said, Mr. Murphy, hang on, say brother up there, you know. Mr. Murphy, I got saved today. What a blessing. One day she didn't come on the bus. Next Sunday she didn't come on the bus. I got a little bit concerned about it. I went to visit that woman. She came to the door. Two big old black eyes. I said, what happened? My husband beat me because I'm going to this church. That guy hated me. Hated me, hated me. I stick my hand out to shake his hand. He'd slap it away just waiting for me to fight him. And I have to be honest with you. I wanted to beat the dog out of him. There's not very many people on this earth that intimidate me. My mother-in-law a little bit. But that's another message. That's another message. He tried to intimidate me, you know, cuss me, you know, man. Threaten to whoop me. Sometimes I'd pray, Lord, let him take a swing at me. Give me an excuse to defend myself. But I never did. That guy, I was trying to get that guy saved. He knew you. He hated me, man. And I have to be honest with you, it was hard for me to pray for him, knowing he was beating up his wife. I wanted to kill him. And I had to give him a bus route up and go off to Bible college. Gave it up to another guy. Told him about that guy. Watch out for him. 2 years later, I come home. I'm preaching a youth rally for my pastor, Ed Johnson. I saw my buddy. I said, how's that bus route going? He said, it's going great. People are coming, riding. I'd ask about families. I asked about that family. Oh, yeah. She came faithfully. They moved away now. They live in Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me about that guy. I went up to him. He was in the yard. First time I met him, I was afraid. He's a big old guy. I said, I introduced myself. I put my hand up. He shook my hand. I said, you're kidding me, man. The guy hated me. He shook my hand. We talked. He was congenial. I took out the Bible. I led him to Christ. I said, you got to be kidding me. I was almost upset. God save that guy. I wanted to lead him to Christ. Amen. I wanted him one of my trophies. Like I talk about. Said, I led him to Christ. He came the next Sunday, got baptized. They were faithful for a year. Now they're in a church over in Wisconsin, serving the Lord. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, that's your Jerusalem, your family, your Judea, your friends, your Samaria, your foes. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread. If he be thirsty, give him water. What is soul winning? It's just one beggar telling another beggar where he's found bread. Amen. That's all it is. It's just an old sinner saved by grace. Amen. Share the bread. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Evangelize, don't antagonize.
Then we have the uttermost part. What is that? The fourth area of evangelism. Our family, friends, foes, the foreign fields. The foreign fields. Evangelize. You'll never experience the fullness of God until you are fully surrendered. And one of the tests of true surrender is giving your life to the mission field. You've never surrendered to go to the mission field, you'll never experience the fullness of God's blessing upon your life. Total commitment and surrender. I went to Bible college knowing I'm an evangelist. God's called me to be an evangelist. I'm going to go out and evangelize. I'm Billy Sunday, reincarnated. That's the way I saw myself. You know? So I'm an evangelist. Someone preached about going to mission field. I never really thought about it. All right, I'll surrender. Never really thought about it. But I'm committed to the call of God. Have you ever committed to the surrender? I never really, I thought I was fully surrendered. Maybe I need to surrender to the mission field. I come forward and surrender to God. You want me to go to the mission field? I'll be a Billy Sunday over there. Because I'm going wherever God, I want to be totally, every ounce, every fiber, every step, every breath I draw, every beat of my heart, sold out to God. I won't be able to experience the fullness of what God has for me unless I am fully surrendered. The foreign fields. Now we understand God didn't call everybody to Madagascar. God didn't call everybody to the Philippines. I preach over there. I've preached in Canada. When they let me in, I preached down in Mexico. I've had the opportunity to preach at foreign field. Why? I've surrendered to it. Have you surrendered your life to go the foreign field? Or is that agitation in there? You aggravate the Holy Spirit when you refuse to surrender. Amen.
Amen.
To the will of God. Want God. Poof. I mean, I believe God would just baptize, saturate our independent fundamental Baptist churches with power from on high. If we were totally committed. But we're holding back. We're holding back something. Because we're not having the impact. Something. We're holding back. Have you surrendered? The foreign field. Evangelize. Don't antagonize. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take the message, burn it into our hearts. I know, Lord, that this church is involved in evangelism. Lord, this is what you've laid upon my heart to preach. I tried to get away from it. You kept bringing me back to it. I had to be honest, Lord. This evangelistic church. There's people here that believe. There's people here that have surrendered to the mission field. But Lord, you had me preach it for a reason. Have we been antagonistic? Have we been divisive? Discouraged? Is there dissension? I pray, dear God, your work in our midst. There's folks here that's never surrendered to go to the mission field. I pray they surrender. Lord, we understand you may not call them, but you just want that surrendered heart for them to do the work of God. You called my dad, Lord, to be a bus captain. I know he surrendered to the mission field. He told me about it. But Lord, you've left him on that bus route. Thousands of people saved. Lord, I pray that you'll just give us that heart to evangelize, not antagonize. Our family, our friends, our foes, the foreign fields. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. I pray that you'll have your will and way. There may be one here that's not saved. I pray, Lord, that they'll get saved even this morning. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm here this morning. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I've been struggling with it. When you pray, would you please remember me? When you pray to God, just kind of remember my hand. I'm going to raise my hand because I'm not sure about being saved. And if you just remember me, I've been struggling with it. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me." Just slip your hand up real quick. Put it back down. I'll pray for you. Slip it up there. Come on, be honest with God. "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me." Just slip your hand up real quick. Slip it up there. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll remember you in prayer. Is there one that'll say, "Remember me"? That's a big auditorium. I had to kind of fan the auditorium. You're not sure? Keep your hand up there so I could see it, so I could pray for you. "I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, pray for me." Maybe you're here. You know you're saved. Say, "God spoke to my heart. I needed that message. I need to be more diligent reaching my family, my friends, my foes, the foreign field. God spoke to my heart during that message. I needed that message. Pray for me." Slip your hand up big and high all over the auditorium. God spoke to your heart. Come on, be honest with God. You know God speaking to your heart. You may put your hands down. Come to this old-fashioned altar when we give the invitation. You're not saved. Come and get saved. You need to get baptized. You need to surrender. Oh, listen. To experience the fullness of God in your life is the greatest astronomical, I mean, just at the peak of life. The joy, the contentment that it brings, knowing I am totally surrendered to God. You're not 100% sure about being surrendered, you come. You're not 100% sure about being saved, you come. Whatever decision, make it for God. Let's have everyone stand together. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You lifted your hand for prayer on the first note. You come as they begin to play and sing. God spoke to your heart. God bless you. 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 With you. With you. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You need to come right now. Come on. Don't tarry. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Immediately. Straightway. Commit to God. I'm going to commit myself. God's calling me to go, I'll go. God doesn't call me to go, at least I know I've surrendered to Him. Oh, the devil will use that doubt. The devil will use that confusion. God spoke your heart. You need to come. Don't hesitate. One moment. The devil will use that. That's all he needs. Just a moment of hesitation. Why don't you come right now? You need to be saved. Just raise your hand. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You need somebody to pray with you about your surrender. Raise your hand. We'll have somebody pray with you about it. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? Whatever the decision, make it for the Lord.
All others are at the altar. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. You know you're supposed to join the church. You've been visiting here. Talk to us about it. And you come. God spoke to many hearts this morning. Friends, family, friends, foes, and the foreign field. Would you come this morning? Several of you have lost family members. I know we prayed together about it. Would you come this morning? You say, "I've been to that altar before, praying for my friends and my family." George Mueller prayed for 50 years for 5 men to be saved. 4 got saved before he died. 2 years later, that 5th one came to Christ. We want everything instantaneously. Sometimes it takes time. Great message. Your family, your friends, your foes, and the foreign field. Would you come this morning? While they finish the song of invitation,